Welcome to the Birthful Podcast. I'm Adriana Lozada, and today we're going to be talking about parenting your newborn. The good news is that you can discover the secrets of your newborn as you figure out what type of parent you want to be. However, it will probably involve a skin-to-skin extravaganza. Dr. Bob Hamilton is here to tell us more. Stay tuned. This episode of Birthful is brought to you by Storyworth, an easy and fun way for your loved ones to share their stories with weekly story prompts of questions you've never thought to ask. Learn more and receive $20 off when you subscribe by visiting storyworth.com/birthful. This episode of Birthful is also brought to you by Simply Breastfeeding, a prenatal breastfeeding course to help nursing parents feel confident with their newborns. Learn more at birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding and use the code Birthful for 15% off. The Birthful Podcast, talking to maternity pros and new parents to inform your intuition. Hello, mighty parents and parents-to-be. As always, thank you so very much for listening and for all the love you give this show. If what you hear is helpful, tell your friends, make sure to subscribe, and that way you won't miss a thing. If you'd like to further support this podcast, please support its sponsors, which in this week's case are Storyworth and Simply Breastfeeding. You can also support this podcast by joining the Birthful community at patreon.com/birthful. And there you can access extra content for every single episode, as well as listen to ad-free versions of the show. Now, for those of you expecting a baby in the coming months, make sure you prepare not only for the having a birth part, but also for the actual having a baby part. Go sign up for my Thrive with Your Newborn online postpartum preparation classes to get lots more information on how to connect with your baby and also how to honor your recovery and integrate your new identity as a parent. Go sign up now at birthfulcourses.com. All right, so my guest today is pediatrician Dr. Bob Hamilton, who is better known, or best known, I guess, for a video on YouTube where he demonstrates a super quick and simple and effective way to instantaneously calm a baby. It is known as the Hamilton Hold, after Dr. Bob Hamilton, and he recently also published a book called The 7 Secrets of Your Newborn. So we're going to be talking a bit about some of the concepts included in that book that brings insights on how to parent your newborn. I do want to give you a heads up that even though the book has really super solid information related to newborns and a chapter on conception through birth with great physiological information, there's a small section titled The 7 Recommendations for a Great Delivery, which I found were more recommendations on how to be a good patient. And they included things like avoiding home births and water births and letting the professionals do the job, and telling dads to lay low and out of the way during delivery. Now, I'm not completely sure how or why those recommendations made it there, but I did find them in stark contrast with the rest of the book. I'm telling you this now because if you happen to get the book, I don't want you to get to that part and go, what the heck, and be put off by all of it. As always, you know what to do. Run all the information through your critical filters and take what resonates for you. Oh, and in case you're wondering what my recommendations or wishes would be for a great delivery, you can go check out the mini episode that I did titled The 12 Days of Birth, where I go through my 12 wishes for a fabulous labor. Interestingly enough, Dr. Bob's number one recommendation is the same as my number three, which is that you are as rested as you can be for when labor starts. I'll link that to that mini episode in the show notes. All right, here we go. Here's my talk with Dr. Bob. Welcome, Dr. Bob. It's great to have you here on the podcast.
Thank you, Adriana. I am delighted to be here.
Wonderful. And there's so many things we are going to try to get through in our short talk today. But first of all, congratulations on your new book. You have a book called The 7 Secrets of the Newborn. Did that stem from your viral video on the Hamilton Hold?
It really did, yes. A little over three years ago, randomly, it was one of my to-do things that I wanted to accomplish, which was to do a video. Many of my patients and friends over the years said, you know, Dr. Hamilton, you should put that little hold on video on YouTube. Of course, I had no idea how to do that. I had no idea what that meant. But finally, I kind of checked it off. I had a couple guys come over to my office, and we did this little video that I called How to Calm a Crying Baby. And lo and behold, it took off. It kind of exploded. And, Adriana, I thought that going viral meant you had a cold. You had a bad, had diarrhea, something like that.
Never a good thing.
Never a good thing. But I realized that going viral is a has a different meaning. And within really, honestly, days, I was up to 10 million, 15 million, whatever. And at that moment, I had my 2 seconds of fame. I was invited to come back to New York to be on Good Morning America. I got to be on Dr. Oz's show, which was truly delightful, and even Fox and Friends. And so while I was back in New York, St. Martin's Press, which is there in the Flatiron Building there in Manhattan, gave me a call and said, have you ever considered writing a book? And so it was really, the book was a derivative, if you will, of the video.
Mm-hmm. And I checked this morning because I went to look at the video. I had been one of the weird people that hadn't seen it yet. But I did go and check it out. And aside from being a wonderful resource for new and expectant parents, you have 30 million views as of this morning, or not as of this morning, but it was around there today. So there you go. It keeps growing for sure.
It keeps growing, and it's become really international. Of course, the internet is international. And so I've had people who have told me, look, we were visiting in Singapore, or I was in Greece, or I was in Israel, I was in Argentina. I mean, literally all over the world, people have commented and said, look, my parents who live in Australia called me and said, you should check out this pediatrician. They're my patients. And it's an interesting phenomenon, I have to say.
Yeah. Would you mind, and this is audio, so it's always a little difficult, but would you mind describing the hold? And I'll certainly link to it in the show notes so people can see it. But for those who are like out and about and can't stop to watch the video in this instant, could you describe what it's about?
Happy to do so. Basically, to those listening, essentially, as a pediatrician, one thing we do is we look at children, we examine them, we hold them in we make them, we put our cold stethoscopes on their chest and make them cry. Well, over the years, I have, done that with multiple, countless little babies. And so I felt an obligation somewhat to calm them down. Now, mind you, I'm the father of 6 children. I feel very comfortable with children. And when a baby's crying, I have maybe a little bit of maternal instinct in me. I tend to pick them up and try to calm them. And I have found over the years that if you gently fold the arms in front of the chest, one over the other, and grasp them, and then I do that with my left hand, and then with my right hand, I reach down and I kind of put my hand between their little crotch, or their little booty, I call it, and gently at about a 45 degree angle, hold them away from my body and gently rock them up and down. I find that it has a very calming effect on the child, and almost universally, Adriana, they will calm down. They frequently will, and very acutely, they'll open their eyes. They'll kind of look around. I think they're maybe stunned, or they're kind of going, what is going on with my body? I'm not sure what they're thinking. Love to know. But they do calm down. And it's it is almost universal that they do.
Yeah. And you tap into that calming reflex that Dr. Karp talks about.
My friend Harvey Karp told me, he called me and said, Bob, What you're tapping into is the calming reflex. And I said, Harvey, you're totally right. That's exactly right. And to a degree, listen, Harvey's a good friend of mine, Adriana. We trained together at UCLA. And so I know Harvey. And so I am kind of incorporating to a degree, quite independently, to be honest with you, but some of his 5 S's that he delineated in his wonderful book, The Happiest Baby on the Block.
And I have, I did an episode with him, so I'll link it on the show notes too. But I do appreciate having different ways to tap into that, to that calming reflex. And frankly, to tell you the truth, yours is way easier. There's less steps to it, right? So, and I wanted to pinpoint that 45 degree angle that you're talking about is 45 degrees in relation between their heads and their booties, right? So yes, they're not completely upright or, you know, horizontal, but you're holding them kind of like,
kind of a leaning forward kind of position. Yes, you don't want to make it upright because kids do kind of pull their head back, and they can fall out of your hands, frankly. And I find that the 45 degree angle seems to work the best.
Yeah, fantastic. And so that brings me to, you know, it's fabulous to have this as a tool that parents can tap into, because the truth is, and you point in your book in terms of what babies do. They cry. They cry all the time.
They cry. And I kid people, there's a reason why we call them crybabies, because they do, that's what they know what to do. And listen, there's nothing more commanding of our attention. I think that people find the sound of a crying baby to be one of the most irritating sounds in the universe. And I can tell you why, because I have good, you know, colleagues of mine, non-pediatrician colleagues, who come into my office and hear the cacophony, hear the, you know, the shrieking and the crying from the, you know, all around me. And they look at me and they go, "Hamilton, how can you deal with this every day?" And I go, "Deal with what?" And they go, "All of this noise. I mean, you do get inured over time to the crying." But, you know, definitely a crying baby. And I will tell you, Adriana, that the reality is that I find that my own children, when they cry, or my grandchildren, I attend to that. Other people's, I don't hear it as much. But yes, babies cry.
Well, and it's a great survival mechanism. And I think if you are, I mean, it commands attention, right? But I think if you are, I have heard a lot of cries, then you know that there's different types of cries, and you know ones that are more urgent than others is like babies figuring things out. And that, I think, ties into one of your secrets from the book of, you know, that first month of having baby lead the way. Yes. Can you speak more about that?
Yes. The first month of life is really a really precious, wonderful time. And it is a time where your child, mind you, the child has been living this delightful existence inside of the womb. I don't know what is going on, but they're kind of, they're hearing things. They can actually, I'm not seeing things per se, but they're hearing things, they're feeling things, kind of in a fog, okay? They come out and the jar of being born, the chill of the air, all of the things that happen, the noise, the loudness, the light, everything is a jar to them. So they are going through a gigantic adjustment. We talk about life from the mother's perspective frequently, that mothers, of course, when they have a baby, go through a gigantic change the first month, but children do too. And that month is kind of a time where I tell my moms, just sit back and be a mommy. Don't, you know, and I tell people, put away your cell phones, put away your computers, kind of hang out in your home. I wrote my book, you know, the first month should be a skin-to-skin extravaganza. It should be, you should be hanging out with your baby the whole month, kind of naked with your baby between your, you know, on your chest. And I really mean that, because it's a very unique time. And by the way, it goes by really quickly. 1 month is gone in a minute. But it is a time where you're not imposing necessarily your, quote, will, if you will, on your baby. Let your baby kind of, your baby will indicate what they need. If they're hungry, they'll cry. If when they have to poo, they'll poo. when they pee, they pee. They kind of are, you know, in the state where they're trying to figure out the world as much as they can. And that is the time just to let them be who they are. So that's what I mean by let baby lead the way.
Yeah. And I find that they come with their own, you know, personalities already, and they're all their own patterns. So it's a perfect opportunity to observe their rhythm and discover that little person that's now in your life, and then have that set the stage of like, oh, okay, this is how we need to parent this little person.
Exactly. And it's, I hate to use the word organic, is overused, but it is quite, if you really, it is organic. It's the kind of thing that happens quite naturally. It's happening all over the world, you know, without anybody instructing, you know, mothers, you know, in primitive areas. I spend a lot of time actually in Africa. I don't know if you picked that up or not, but I go to Africa on an annual basis. I'm leaving a week from tomorrow for my 26th trip to Africa.
Wow.
And I work over there with young mothers, many of them in their teens. And I got to tell you, Adriana, they're wonderful. They're wonderful mothers. They do a good job because they are totally keyed into their children.
And let's take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to talk more about that, because I find something that you did mention in your book, that you've been a pediatrician for so many years, and you see a tendency to your new parents be more and more anxious and have like higher expectations when they come to you. So I want to connect those two dots. We'll be right back. Tell me again about that time when Deanna broke her nose with her own knee. Or tell me about when your dad would swim every day after school in the hot springs where they lived. And on the requests would come. When Annika was little, she could not get enough of her family stories. And still today, she requests her favorite ones. The thing is that usually those stories live only in our minds. And as we all age, they tend to be forgotten. These are treasures that rarely get written down, but fortunately, this doesn't have to be the case because there's StoryWorth. StoryWorth is a fantastic way to preserve your family memories. Here's how it works. First, you purchase a subscription for someone you love, and each week for a year, StoryWorth sends them an email with a question about their life. Then they simply reply to that email with their story, and if they want to include photos, they can do that as well. Or they can record their story over the phone by calling the StoryWorth number. All stories are private and only shared with whom you choose, and you can invite an unlimited number of people to receive the email responses. After years gone by, the stories will be bound into a beautiful keepsake book that you can treasure forever and pass through down through generations. Simple as that. They get a question, reply with an answer, share with as many people as they want, repeat for a year, edit if needed, and receive a hardcover keepsake book. StoryWorth has a bunch of great prompt questions for you to choose from, or you can create your own. For example, they recently asked me if I ever got lost as a child. And I did. I was about 5 and we were at the beach with tons of cousins and I walked off too far. Anyway, I really love the kind of structure that StoryWorth provides, sending me a new question every week. Plus, if I don't like the prompt for that week, I can switch it for a different one or even write my own. StoryWorth is indeed the perfect Mother's Day gift, even last minute. Imagine all the great stories that your mom, your aunt, or your grandma have to share, the fun they would have doing this, and since they can share the stories via email with as many people as they'd like, it is also a great way to connect with family, no matter where they live. Go to StoryWorth.com and gift a subscription as a Mother's Day gift to any of them today. You could even get a StoryWorth subscription for all of them, and maybe even for yourself. Imagine how much your kids would love that to read in the future. To learn more and receive $20 off when you subscribe, visit StoryWorth.com/birthful and use the promo code birthful. That's StoryWorth.com/birthful. So StoryWorth.com/birthful with the promo code birthful to get $20 off when you subscribe. And we're back talking with Dr. Bob Hamilton about his new book, The 7 Secrets of the Newborn, and also what parents need to know to parent a newborn. You mentioned in your book that you are seeing parents come to you with more anxiety and higher demands of themselves of what things should look like. Can you tell me more about that?
Yes, happy to. You know, I work in Santa Monica, California, which is on the west side of Los Angeles. It is an area where there people are educated. They read a lot. They compare notes. And I find that more and more people are approaching parenthood a little bit with the kind of zeal and maybe the kind of attitude that you would approach getting into law school or medical school is a little bit like you having enrolled in a class, okay, to use the metaphor. And I think that that only induces anxiety, and it causes people to be constantly, you know, that sense of self-confidence that is so important in being good at anything, really, it seems to be eroding. And I also think, to a degree, Adriana, people are having fewer children. They're not having four or five or six, like my wife and I had six. But when you have one child or two children, you have more time to focus on that one or two, that one child or two children. And so I think that as a result of that, you have people who are, you know, wanting to make sure that they get it right. Okay, they don't have a lot of chances here. They have only one kid, so they want to make sure everything that they do is the right thing to do. That adds to the anxiety. Another thing, too, frankly, is that in my community, people are putting off having children to a later age. My mothers are professionals. Many of my mothers are very accomplished, amazing people. I'm fortunate to be able to work with a community which is, I mean, truly incredible. But when you put off parenthood until your mid-30s, that does change how you parent.
Yeah. Well, and I can relate absolutely to that because, so I've been in the birth world for 12 years now, as a birth doula and many other things since then. But when I had my child 13 years ago, and I just have the one child, I knew nothing about birth, hadn't been around babies, was not like these young mothers that you meet in your travels that have all this common sense because they've been surrounded. It's second nature. It's not like they had to grab a book to learn. They've been surrounded by kids and people taking care of kids all their lives. So that's why they have that common sense and second nature to it, right? They're confident because they're like, I'm not going to mess it up. I know what to do. We don't. And I know that when I had my kid, I didn't. And I appreciate, oh my God, so didn't. So I was one of the parents that had, I still have it, and I might publish it, like not publish it, but share it as a blog post someday so that people can see like what not to do. I have pages and pages and pages for weeks on end of every single time my daughter ate, woke up, which breast, the whole, like it was frankly a mess. I was trying to apply all these great skills, and I see this a lot, and maybe you too, all these great skills that we value culturally of organization and timeliness and being efficient and, you know, on time and just, yeah, on time and not messy, like all of those things to a process like birth and postpartum that require the opposite skills. They require slowness and messiness and just being instead of doing. And right. And I was not good at those skills because we're not the ones I honed.
Antithesis, if you will, of messiness and not being on time and not being able to be on time, really. All those things don't breed success in the Western world. If you are messy and you're not on time and you kind of go, people kind of go, you don't need that job. You're not aggressive enough or whatever. But you're totally right. I should have talked to you before I wrote my book, by the way. I love what you're saying here. You're completely correct that, you know, you have to kind of switch into reverse. And this is really hard for people who are driven, who have been climbing the corporate ladder, and who have been, by the way, successful at climbing the corporate ladder. These are not people who've kind of, you know, fallen off the truck. They're on it and they're driving it. For those individuals, and there are a lot of them, and really more and more women are entering the workforce now. So I'm talking about ladies and men too. You have to take a completely different approach. Now, I look, I'm not necessarily a bohemian, but that's kind of what you have to do. You have to kind of get down to a different, more earthy, more human level to be, to raise children. Because if you don't, I will promise you, they'll drag you down to it. Because children, they kind of do that. They don't really respect our degrees, by the way, nor do they respect our where they live, your financial statement. They know you as mommy and daddy. And so how they treat you is quite different. But anyway, you're totally correct. All the things that make for successful careers, per se, don't necessarily translate into parenthood.
Yeah. And so that I love the fact that one of your secrets is switch your expectations and let, and this is a quote from your book, is during the first month of life, your baby will teach you how to parent. Of actually stepping into that humble role. Because parenting is so humbling, right? Of just
Amen.
Going, yeah, I was yes. like, oh, okay, you are the little one that will lead the way for a bit, and then we can work together as a family.
Yes, parenting, by the way, and I have grown children, parenting continues in my life to be tremendously humbling. And your kids... have an ability to kind of, cut through it all. And they kind of make you, they make you a different person. They actually help to grow us up. They help us in such a profound and deep way. I'm so thankful I have children, but I got to tell you, each one of them have, in their own little ways, they have kind of tweaked me. And is it fun? No, not really, but they have.
Yeah, well, and that it's an immense opportunity to change, like, because having a child changes your identity in a more significant way than any other point in our life. Like we grow and then we go off in our 20s to find ourselves, and then we figure out who we are, quote unquote, and then we have kids, and it's like, whoa, wait, start over, right? And I think that's the hardest thing also for parents, having that big identity change, not the childcare stuff, not changing the diaper. That's what nobody tells you, is that it's the insane impact that it's going to have on you, and what it's going to, like, it's going to take you, like you said, tweak you, like it'll take you to your edge and require, yeah, such growth. And so let's take it back to what parents can do to navigate that. So if we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, if they're not charting and having all these apps and like guidance to figure out their kids, what are some things that are helpful in trying to figure out the baby? I'm going to let you sit with that a minute while we take a break, and then you can give me an answer. We'll be right back. Breastfeeding, it may be natural, but that sure does not mean it's easy. It's a learning process for both you and baby, and like most learning processes, it takes a lot of trial and error. However, this trial and error can sometimes come with a lot of crying, and not necessarily only from your baby. Help lessen the crying and frustration by arming yourself with some solid knowledge. A great way to prepare for this is by taking the Simply Breastfeeding online class created by breastfeeding experts Cindy and Jana. In their class, you'll learn to recognize what your baby is telling you and how to meet your baby's needs starting in the very first hour after birth. You'll also understand the basics of breastfeeding and be able to return to them if you encounter difficulties, and you'll feel confident knowing the answers to most frequently asked questions. Lessen your anxiety and frustration and relax knowing you've got this. Go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding to learn more. And as a Birthful listener, you get 15% off if you use the code Birthful when you register. Go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding or click the link on the show notes to get you on your way. And we're back talking with Dr. Bob. So, yeah, how can parents navigate this? If they're, how do they figure out how to navigate it from their internal compass rather than relying on apps and external things and, you know, charting every single feeding?
This is a great question. And it turns out that mothers in particular, and dads to a degree too, but I have to tell you, Adriana, that I marvel at women. I marvel at women because they have it down deep in their DNA to be mothers. A lot of people in my community go to, you know, baby classes beforehand. They go to breastfeeding classes. They kind of prepare themselves with Lamaze and Bradley and all the different birth methods. And then they have a baby. And a lot of it, you know, doesn't necessarily translate from what they learn in the book or in the class. They kind of, they are thrown into life, okay? And the beautiful thing is that part of it is you have to engage. You have to be there. What I mean by that is you have to focus on what is happening. Now, it turns out that women in particular, guys too, but you, listen, let's be honest. A woman has a baby. They have that had that child in their body. They've felt the kicking and everything. They've been thinking about being a parent for a long time. And the reality is that when they get to the point where they have a baby, that baby's born, guess what happens? They kind of kick it into gear. And I think the important thing is that they have to be there. Now, that means it can't be clouded with, you know, other things. You have to kind of get, you have to really do put away a lot of the external things like, you know, like a job. If you're having to go back to work immediately, that's a problem. You have to put away other, hopefully, you know, you've had a reasonable delivery. You're not under the influence of medications of any kind. That is a big issue. Another issue, to be honest with you, is something that is hard to deal with. And that's just good old fashioned depression. You know, a lot of women do have postpartum depression. It's a very real phenomenon. I talk about that in my book briefly, but the reality is you have to be there. When you're there with your child, you're watching your child, you're watching their cues, and they talk to you. Children interact with you. They look at you. They begin to, you get a feeling for their rhythm, if you will. But to get that feeling, you have to be a participant with them. And that means spending a lot of time with them when they're born.
Mm-hmm. And in that spending of time, I love that you brought up that they do communicate and they do share things with you. It just requires to stop and observe a lot because they may not talk, but those cries are different and they have the different cues and hunger cues and sleep cues and even elimination cues that we've totally tuned out in our culture. And so we don't respond to that, but they let you know when they have to poop, right? If we paid attention. And I think one of the rewarding things that I want you to talk a little bit more about and explain to our listeners is the idea of how even a 1 month old or a few weeks old can mimic your actions and how that provides an opportunity to play.
It's beautiful. It's one of those little miracles of life. But by the way, just a personal comment, Adriana, 2 weeks ago, my daughter, Sarah, had a little baby boy. So we're grandparents for the eighth time. And so I will tell you that I've been going over there pretty much every day to follow up with this little guy. His name is Teddy, little Teddy. And I'm again reminded of the joy, the delight of a newborn child, you know, intimately. And watching my daughter go through this is actually, for the first time, by the way, is such a joy to me. And Sarah, if you're listening to this, know that I'm so proud of you and so happy for little Teddy. But you're right. Little babies are imbued with their own, survival means. Okay. One of them is this whole idea of mirror neurons. And they've done some beautiful research. I can't remember the exact doctor who did it. I mentioned in my book. But the idea that children have, we have these neurons in our brain that when we see something, there's something in us that compels us, even as adults, to mimic that. And babies have that in spades. They very early on begin, when you coo to them, they begin to coo back to you. And you kind of go, interesting. I'll never forget, this is a little bit off topic, but one time our family went on a trip to the southern part of Arkansas is where it was. And my younger sister, within a couple of days, started speaking with a southern drawl. And I looked at her and I thought, what are you doing? What are you, how is it that we've only been here for 2 days and you sound like you've lived here all your life? That was really a phenomenon of her mirroring and reflecting the culture that was around her. And children, babies do that straight out of the box. They come out and they're beginning to interact with parents. And it's one of the true little joys of being a parent, because you get to watch that firsthand.
And I think that, like, you know, you stick out their tongue and they stick out their tongue and you go back and forth, like, your face, that's the biggest playground. You don't need a gazillion thousand toys. You don't need, plus it has the added benefit of calming you down and seeing how able your little person is and give you that confidence that a toy, like, you would have missed it if you just set them down with underneath a mobile.
That's what, that Adriana, that is, they need your face. You know, Jill Stamm, who wrote a lovely book about children, said that the mother's face is the first toy that they have. And that is so true, but you have to be there. That's what I'm talking about in terms of being there with your child. You know, we're talking about time-intensive engagement. Now, it turns out that babies are almost impossible not to stare at. I even my little grandson Teddy here, when I go over there, I just look at him. I just, you know, look at every little thing he's doing, and older people do tend to just stare at a newborn child because for whatever reason they're fascinating, especially to a mother. A mother can sit there virtually all day long, and by the way, happily and content to do it, look at her baby.
Yeah, and so to know that lessens your anxiety, and we are giving you permission to do nothing all day but sit and look at your baby. And it's probably like skin to skin, and it's probably the best thing for both of you.
It's the best thing for both of them,
for
sure.
Once that month has gone by and then kind of real life starts kicking in, because you can't just stay like that forever, what are some ways that parents can then start navigating, figuring out what parents they want to be?
Well, I think that, after the month has gone by, you begin to establish a routine, kind of a pattern. And that pattern usually takes about 3 months to really get going, in my observation of parents. By 3 months of age, they're really getting it together. I think that, you know, there are a lot of different parenting styles. You can be a parent who's, you know, the hovering parent who's overly anxious or whatever. You can be a parent who's a little bit more, you know, laissez-faire in the way you approach your child. I think that it's important to simply be there for your child, whatever they're doing, when they need food, you're there to feed them, but you're also engaging them. You're talking to them. I actually believe in reading to children from the very, very beginning of their lives. One of my colleagues, pediatric colleagues, said you narrate your life, even with young children. So everything that you're doing, you're talking to them, you're engaging them, you're holding them, you're caressing them. But children need to have that sense of closeness with her parent. And, you know, 1 month is a very short time, but that really needs to go on for really months and months and months, to be honest with you.
So, is there, how do we reconcile the realities of our life with that, because we can't stay with babies. Unfortunately, most people cannot stay with their babies for, you know, months on end or a whole year.
That's true. And I even though I put that in my book, I'm encouraging moms to be as present as they possibly can. I know that is somewhat of a ideal, but you do your best. I mean, I do encourage moms who are working to try to take as much time off as they possibly can, to use vacation time, to use sick time, to also maybe even go with unpaid leave, if that is possible at all. But you're right. There's a point where you do have to face the reality of life and you have to get back to life. I think that one of the things that I strongly encourage, and I tell this to my executive moms who have big jobs, think of creative ways to include your child into everything that you do. I'm talking about moms who I had a mom yesterday in my practice who's she's got a big job and she's traveling, I think, to New York or whatever. And I said, look, bring your baby with you. Bring your baby. You bring a nanny, bring your baby. You will be happier. Your child will be happier. So I'm a believer in this because I've seen it in Africa. The women in Africa work really, really hard. They're out there in the fields. They're in the marketplace. They are working mothers. But they also have a culture that allows them to be with their baby pretty much all the time. And this is something that the Western culture has bleached out of our lives. The Western culture has has taken children and mothers away. They've divided them. And I don't know how to fix that, Adriana. It's a challenge.
It is a huge challenge, but I think just even the concept and idea of bringing it to our fore, the front of our minds and saying, hey, how can I incorporate my child? And also one of the things that I really appreciated from your book was I know, and we all know that parenting can be very isolating in our Western culture. It gravitates towards that. Right. So having that also permission of get your kid out there and have interactions with other people and let's figure out a way how more and more to have our kids be part of our communities instead of something that needs to be shunned out. Because then that we're doing a lot of harm to parents by saying we want you, but not your kids.
Totally. Yeah. And I tell my doctors, I said, look, I want you to know that after they've had a child, now they're not taking me up on this yet. But I tell them, look, you can bring your child to work. You can actually bring your child and have your child in the office with you all day long. I don't care. And I mean that from my heart. They kind of look at me and go, oh, Dr. Hamilton, you're out of your mind. I really mean that, and a couple of my workers have actually taken me up on that, and their kids are in my office all the time, which I like. We have to change our thinking, the Western culture thinking about including children into our culture. If we don't, first of all, we're gonna lose out. And I do have to say that the Africans. Have you ever been to Africa, Adriana?
Unfortunately, no. I still want to go, though. When you said it's your 26th year, I was like, oh, sounds so fabulous.
It's a lot of time there. Go there and take note. Well, you will because you're in the business. But take note of the children. They're everywhere. Now, granted, they have a lot of children, but the children are part of every situation. You know, when you go to a hotel or wherever you go, there are kids running around. It's delightful. It's wonderful. And that actually happens. I spend a lot of time in Guatemala, too. I find that happens in Latin countries more, too. We have a tendency in the U.S. to isolate ourselves from our beautiful children.
Yeah. And there's a meme that's going around that I really appreciate. And that it says, we ask parents to work like they don't have children and to parent like they don't work. specifically moms, right? And it's true. That's, and it's ridiculous. Like, that's, we're setting us ourselves up for losing, for disappointing. But the other added advantage, and we're coming full circle here, of putting our kids out there more, is that then those our kids and younger people that have don't yet have kids are going to be more involved with kids. And so when they become parents, they'll have more of that common sense because they've had contact with kids. So it definitely creates a win-win for sure.
It's a win-win. And you know, listen, children, here's what children do. They bring delight. They bring joy. They bring laughter. They light up every room that they go into. They also bring purpose to our lives. They give us a sense of destiny. And actually, you know, there's nothing more delightful than to see, you know, teenagers engaging little babies. You know, I love that. When I, you know, in the pediatric office, I have these teenagers who come in who are surly and maybe cynical or whatever, you know, bored and angry and all that kind of stuff. And I walk into a room and I grab a little baby and I walk in and I say, I want you to know something, Ryan, this is what you looked like a couple years ago. And they look at a baby and they kind of go, wow, a baby, you know, but you're right. When you don't have children in your life, and a lot of people, it's surprising. I ask this question a lot of my new moms. I say, have you ever had any contact with a newborn or a young children? They go, nope, never have, never had, you know, or not much, you know. And in particular, the guys, you know, guys don't have a lot of contact with young children. It's the nature that we have a tendency to warehouse the young babies into daycare situations or whatever. And so they're not out in the community like they should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think putting it out there, that's how we create change, like starting to consider a different way, for sure. Dr. Bob, before we wrap up, is there anything else you want to make sure the listeners know, or how can they get in contact with you or follow more of what you do?
I'm very much available on the internet. You know, certainly my book, Seven Secrets of the Newborn, is out there for people to purchase if they'd like to on Amazon and all over, really. One last thing I want to say is that it turns out that right now we are in a dearth of children. This is an interesting thing. We didn't talk about it here, but demography is important. Demography is the study of populations. And right now our U.S. And all the Western world is not having really enough children to sustain and to keep our numbers up. We're actually dropping in population in many countries of the world. So having children is not only a blessing individually, is actually a cultural imperative. And that's something that you can't really create baby booms by necessarily. That's a deeper thing. That's a bigger thing. But children really are our future and we need them.
Yeah. And that would be a whole other long episode.
You're right.
Very big, long episode.
Be glad to do it. I'll be glad to talk to you about it. I know a lot about that.
Because that's one, I don't think we see eye to eye on that one. So that would be interesting.
It'd be a great talk.
Yeah. But for this one, we're wrapped up. Thank you so very much for sharing all your knowledge and all the work you've done with babies for so many years.
Thank you, dear. Pleasure to be here.
Mighty Ones, find the in-depth show notes for this episode at birthful.com, where you can also learn more about me, the show, Patreon member benefits, send me messages, and more. And if you're in the last months of pregnancy and feeling some anxiety about what life with a newborn is going to be like and how to best support your recovery, then go register for my Thrive with Your Newborn online postpartum preparation classes at birthfulcourses.com, so you can get postpartum ready and feel way more confident and even enjoy those first few weeks. Also, remember that you can get the ad-free version of this episode along with extra audio content where Dr. Bob and I have a friendly debate about population concerns relating to our current economic paradigm, total fertility rate, and whether having more kids is the solution. You can do that by becoming an official Birthful supporter at the Birthful Patreon. Go check it out at patreon.com/birthful. This episode was produced by me and made possible by you, those amazing Birthful Patreon supporters, and the wonderful people at StoryWorth and Simply Breastfeeding. Go to storyworth.com/birthful for $20 off when you subscribe, and go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding and use the code birthful for 15% off. The title song for this podcast is Vive Ace by Kevin McLeod, and the sponsorship song is Air Hockey Saloon by Chris Zabriskie. Find them both at freemusicarchive.org. Also, the Birthful Podcast is part of the Parents on Demand Network, a network of podcasts focused on parents. Download the free Parents on Demand app on Apple and Android for easy on-the-go listening. I'm Adriana Losada. Please join me next week when I'll be talking to a mighty parent as they share their amazing story here at the Birthful Podcast. Thanks so very much for listening. This episode is copyright 2019 by Adriana Losada.